It is much easier to see a sermon than to hear one. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, yesterday we learned that the Apostle Paul was called by God to be a light to the world, to open the eyes of unbelievers in order to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they might experience the goodness of God, even the forgiveness of their sins. And today we are reminded that we were once in darkness, but now we are to be light in the Lord. In just a moment, Kenneth presents part two of the program titled, God is Good.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you. I spoke to you yesterday about what it means to show others that God is good, and that is done by being shining as lights in the world, as Jesus said we should be in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. I went on a fairly extensive consideration of what darkness and light means. Today, we'll focus on the rest of verse 14 and on to 15 and 16. Let me just read those verses to you. Matthew 5, 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I would like to talk to you next about the visible church, because our subject for today is to be seen. If we are the light of the world, we should be shining and we should be seen. The only kind of church there is really should be a visible church, not an invisible church or an underground church. Now, of course, I understand we often use these terms in a different context. But the point here is that the church is the people of God in the world, and they should be seen, not merely heard. How else will the world know that God is good unless they see it for themselves in some visible way through the actions of God's people? Now, in verses 14 and 15 that we have read, there are two aspects of visibility that are brought out. The first is the phrase, on a hill, that we find in verse 14. This is visibility outdoors. It says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. This is visibility out in the world. And this is compared to city lights on an elevated ground which can be seen from afar. And I suppose for those visitors and pilgrims especially, who make their long journeys to the city of Jerusalem at least two or three times a year for the great religious festivals of the temple, would be met by this welcome sight in approaching Jerusalem. Having come from afar, from town and country in the outlying areas of Israel, hoping to make it by nightfall, but if they didn't and continued trudging into the night, would see the warm lights of Jerusalem built on high ground beckoning towards them. These lights are a sign of life, whether you are in civilization, whether you are approaching from the air on a plane nearing the airport, or whether you're driving in a dark country road when the lights of homes or street lamps begin to appear. They are a welcome indication of direction and destination, of civilization and of life. And a natural analogy from the insect kingdom would be fireflies. Fireflies can be found on certain trees in certain areas where the conditions are right along riverbanks. And if you get close enough, you can see them sparkling like Christmas lights on a Christmas tree, except that these are not artificial electric lights. They are intrinsic and they come from within the bodies of these insects. To shine as lights on a hill, outdoors, is just like being fireflies. It's something that comes naturally from within you. You cannot help it. It's for everyone to see. Just like the cross was really intended as a public execution for everyone to see. So likewise, the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be lifted up for all to see. So that's the first aspect, on a hill, outdoors. The second aspect is in the house, and this is indoors. In verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. We are not only to be lights in the world outside, but also indoors. It's within the home or even in the church, which is what the figure of a lampstand sometimes represents in the New Testament. If we are a lamp or a light, in order to fulfill its function effectively, it shouldn't be positioned beneath but above. You place it on a strategic high point so that its rays can reach to all parts of the house to brighten and to illuminate it. It should be put on a lampstand and not under a basket. And we have to keep the lamp trimmed and burning with enough fuel and oil as it is in those days so that it will not burn out during the night. Just like we have to ensure that there is adequate power in the batteries if we are carrying a portable light. And the similar parallel analogy from the insect kingdom for this is the glowworm, which, like the firefly, has a light that is intrinsic from its own body. But instead of outdoors where fireflies are found, we can find glowworms in underground caves where the conditions are right. And this speaks of the witness and testimony indoors. But in both cases, the same point is made. It is easier to see a sermon than to hear one. So there is a place for the right kind of visibility for the church. This is not an artificially created kind of visibility, such as what people try to do in advertising, but rather it's visibility that comes from being light, which we cannot help because it's intrinsic in us. The gospel needs to be seen as much as heard, and if we can have both, it makes reception that much easier and readier. So therefore, the gospel needs to be shared or communicated both through word as well as through work. People are reached and touched by hearing as well as by healing. Some people just won't listen to your good news until you show that you care and can empathize by listening first to their bad news. While it is good and necessary for people to be first informed by what the gospel is all about, for many people, and in many instances, there would be no chance of even doing that effectively unless they are first reached by some other means which would make the gospel relevant to them, something that they can see and feel and touch, and in turn be touched by it. And I would guess there will be more people who are ready to take a free voucher for something like, say, a car wash, than they are to take a free tract which talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. While tracts are definitely useful and important and should not be overlooked or neglected in sharing the gospel, but so are other ways which would make it visible and relevant, that would invite their interest and touch their hearts. If free vouchers were to be given for, say, a free car wash, not for fundraising, but entirely with no strings attached, that would probably bring a lot more people to visit the church who would otherwise never ever step into one. Or even if you do the same outside, it would make the church far more visible and facilitate contact with non-believers in a non-threatening and more natural situation, and perhaps make contact with people who would otherwise never get anywhere near a church. And this is what church visibility means. They can see the light. But mostly this is done by what we are in ourselves, rather than just doing promotional kind of activities. So to be lights in the world requires that we are living in that light. How then do we live in the light? There are two places in the letters of Paul which tell us how to do this. Firstly is in the letter of Ephesians. We are told to walk as children of light. And secondly, in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, where we are told to shine as sons of light. First, to walk as children of light. This is to direct or to show, just like a torchlight. We shine a torchlight to show or direct people the way. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are lights as we walk as children of light. We reflect the light of the Lord from the source. The next verse 9 tells us the positive way of doing this. It's by walking with the Spirit and thereby bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. It says in verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." When we do that, others will see what goodness and righteousness and truth in God looks like. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We not only find out, but we do what is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. That is what it means to walk in the light. The negative side is given to us in verses 11, 12, and 13. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So to live in the light or to walk as children of light means that we have nothing to do, no fellowship with sin or darkness. The nature of light is such that it exposes all that is in the dark. Sometimes you find that there is no need at all to tell if something is wrong. Just the presence of truth by its power will expose and judge what is not right. The light of Christ illuminates God's truth and reveals Satan's lies at the same time. This is just like what happens when beautiful and magnificent fireworks suddenly light up the dark sky. And for a few brief moments, everything is illuminated and made manifest. In the same way, there's something called an illuminating mortar bomb, which is sometimes fired at a strategic moment of a night attack. And when an illuminating bomb explodes over the night sky in its trajectory, it suddenly lights up the whole battlefield so that everything on the fortified objective, the positions, the foxholes are made manifest and visible to the attacking forces for just a minute or so. So to walk as children of light in this world has that same effect. It exposes and shows up what is behind the darkness, and it shows and directs to the true way. Verse 14, therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Christ is the one who gives us that light. We will not run out of power or burnout because we are not running on our own power, but it's His light which is energized by His power. So that's the first way to live in the light, to walk as children of light. The second way is to shine as sons of light. And we read of this in Philippians chapter 2. While to walk as children of light means to direct, just like a torchlight, to shine as sons of light is to attract, like a lighthouse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." The way we shine as lights in the world, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, is by the great contrast between light and darkness. And this is the powerful light of an irreproachable and unimpeachable testimony, blameless, harmless, and faultless, by contrast to the standards of a crooked and perverse generation in the world. Just as Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles in the Old Testament, so the church in the New Testament is to be a light in a world of darkness and depravity. And when it marches to a different tune, it refuses to compromise the truth of God or to accommodate the ways of the world. To that degree, it will shine as the light of the world. In the same way, Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, that is the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief." Verse 5, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Here is a strongly worded reminder for all of us to see ourselves as sons of light and sons of the day. And by contrast, we are similarly reminded that we are not of the night nor of darkness. And the implication there is, if so, let us then shine as sons of light. But this brings out an important point. regarding the need to be mindful of both of these things simultaneously, that we live amidst darkness, but at the same time, we should live as sons or children of light. If we have a torchlight, use it and share it. If we are a lighthouse, then let it fulfill its functions by shining its beam all around the dark and stormy seas, instead of being a showpiece just for tourists to visit, but no longer functioning as a lighthouse. One of the things that light does in nature is to attract fishes as well as insects in the dark. That's the most interesting observation. So if you want to be fishers of men, if you want to win people to Christ, if you want to share the gospel, we should shine as lights to which all the fishes will be attracted. And that's a good and right sense in which the gospel light attracts. But light also attracts creatures of a different kind, and that is all kinds of bugs and insects and flies, which can be a great nuisance if you unwittingly open the doors or windows of your house either late in the night or early in the morning when it's still dark, and in a hot and humid tropical climate. This is what the warm light does. It attracts unwanted visitors in the form of insects. And we should be aware too that shining as lights in the world for the gospel of Christ, as children of light, does attract unwanted and undesirable opposition and attention to the gospel. But this is certainly no reason to stop shining. Now back to our text in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. That's what it's all about. It's visibility before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In doing all this, let us see that the ultimate end is glory to God. We do all these things before men so as to make visible the invisible God. What is visible to the world that does not know God is good works. And good works for the Christian really means God working through us rather than we working for God. And therefore, they are more accurately described as grace works. They are works done by the grace in the power of God. We share the gospel and the love of God through good works, with no strings attached, with no other agenda than to bring those who sit in darkness into the light of Christ. In so doing, we are showing God's goodness and grace through works, and works speak louder than words. But if we can have words combined with works, then they are an irresistible combination. Christians should be doing a world of good, so to speak, wherever they are in the world. And when we have good works of this kind, done for the love of God and in the love of God, people just can't say no, because they have been blessed and impressed by the good and the blessing that is freely given and freely received. And while we do not have a gospel of good works in the sense that we earn our salvation by merit of the works that we do, yet in a sense we can say this is the gospel of good works. It's not for the unsaved, but rather for the saved. It's not good works in order to be saved, but good works to shine the light of the gospel of God. It's good works not as an end in itself, but as a means to glorify God and to point people to God. This is what distinguishes Christian good works from all other kinds. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, concerning the rightful place of good works in the believer's life, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So even when unbelievers may speak evil of you, they cannot deny the good works which they observe, and so acknowledge the goodness of God. And thus will God be glorified. So whatever you may be doing, keep up the good works for God's glory and for the gospel's sake. And I trust you have been refreshed by God's presence and reached by His word.
Some people won't listen to your good news until you show you care by listening to their bad news. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia And I invite you to join us again next time when Ken returns with another reflection from God's Word. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.